We have been talking about Mythbusters. Remember the popular TV show that where they explore different myths or different ideas that people had, and they look at those and see, is it something real or is it a myth? And we have been looking at that, talking about a lot of different religious myths and ideas that people have about the Bible and about religion, about church, to see, are those things really true or are they not true? Does the Bible really say that, and so forth like that? Because the bottom line is, a lot of people don't really know the truth about what the Bible says, and because they don't know, they're very easily deceived into believing things that just simply aren't true. We need to understand that ignorance of God's Word is one of Satan's greatest tools. He loves people to study their Bible as long as they don't have a clue as to what they're really studying. You see? And as long as they're ignorant to what it really says. So part of this is the idea of looking at some of these things that people believe and to see, are they really true or are they not? So we're looking at the biblical version of Mythbusters, okay, to try to dispel some of these myths, these things that people believe that just simply are not true. What does the Bible really say about some of these things that people are out here teaching and believing and so forth? Looking at the scriptures to find out, what does it really tell us? Again, our goal here, as we've been saying all along, is to help us to be better equipped to be able to teach those throughout our Judea. As we try to take the word to other people, that we can effectively share the truth of God's word with other folks. Again, especially when it comes to some of these questions that people are going to ask. What about this? What about that? Well, do we know how to answer some of those questions from what the Bible really teaches? Okay, so today, here is our myth. The Bible is not intended to be taken literally. Okay, that's the belief that a lot of people have about the Bible. Now, when we talk about taking the Bible literally, there's something we need to understand about that, okay? When a lot of people say you can't take the Bible literally, what they mean is that there are certain things that the Bible says that you can't really take it literally. In other words, when Jesus says, for example, I am the door, well, Jesus is not really a door, a literal door that you would walk through. And so they say, see, you can't take the Bible literally because it doesn't mean that. Well, we know from our study in Revelation, if you go back there, you realize there are a lot of things, especially in biblical prophecy, that are not intended to be taken literally. They are symbolical. Okay, so we know that there are certain things that were never intended to be taken literally. Unfortunately, as we saw in that study, there are a lot of people who try to take those things literally and they misapply them. Okay? What we need to understand is that, again, no, not everything is intended to be taken literally, but just because some things are not intended to be taken literally does not mean there are not other parts that are intended to be taken literally. And so what people mean when they talk about not taking the Bible literally, oftentimes what's happened is they're saying, since you can't take these parts literally, you can't take any of it literally. Okay? So, here's a question for you. Can you really live by the Bible? Okay? And there are a lot of people who have this belief that nobody can actually live by what the Bible teaches. Okay? Because, again, you can't take the Bible literally. And so people try to discredit the Bible in that way. They say, well, the Bible, it was never meant to be taken literally. You can't really live by it. It's an old, ancient book. It's got a lot of good stuff in it. But no, nobody really seriously tries to live by the Bible. Really? Can we take the Bible literally? And here's a belief that a lot of people have. Christians don't take the Bible literally because science has proved certain parts wrong. I'm still waiting for somebody to show me that science. I haven't seen any science yet that proved any of the Bible to be wrong. In fact, more and more science is coming out and proving the Bible to be true. So it's just the opposite of what this is. But these are some of the beliefs that people have about the Bible, and can we really, truly live by it? Okay? So, again, you talk about living by the Bible, and someone might say this, you don't read the Bible literally, do you? Really? Among the many problems with taking the Bible literally is it reduces the most mysterious and complex of realities to simple, even simplistic terms. Yes, Scripture speaks of fire and damnation and eternal bliss, but the Bible is the product of human hands and hearts, and much of the imagery is allegorical, not heterological. You see, here's another myth that people have about the Bible, that man is the one who came up with it. Well, as we were talking about in our Bible study this morning, we'll talk more about that. We need to understand, where did the Bible really come from? You see, it certainly did not come at the work of the hearts and the minds and the hands of men. Okay? So, here's another way around this whole literal thing. Do we take the Bible seriously, but not literally? Okay? Oh, yeah, I take the Bible seriously. I just don't take it literally. When he tells me I need to forgive someone who's really hurt me, he literally wants me to do that? I don't think so. I take it seriously, and so I forgive people, but usually it's the people who are being nice to me and apologize and so on and so on and so forth, you see. The people want to take the Bible seriously, but not really. Okay? Taking the Bible too literally is a mistake, some people say. It should be read as a guidebook of wisdom and insight. Okay? A guidebook. Don't take it too seriously, and don't take it literally. It's just a guidebook after all. So what does that do? That reduces it down to some good wisdom if you want to follow it or not. Right? Certainly not as a guide for us or the way that we should be living our lives day to day. Okay? When we have those kind of beliefs, and you know, out of the mouths of babes sometimes, and a little child shall lead them. I don't know if you can read this cartoon or not, the father saying to the child, as you get older, you realize you can't take the Bible as literal as you did when you were a kid. It's really more like a guidebook for life. And if you start believing every single word, people are going to be crossing the street to avoid you, son. Of course, the boy's response, I can't believe I'm hearing this. You see, those are some of the problems that come with this idea of whether or not you can really live by the Bible, whether you can take it literally or not. You know, you start trying to live by that Bible, and people are going to start turning away and avoiding you. And it's not because there's anything wrong with the Bible. It's because people just don't want to follow it, is the real truth here, okay? So do we take the Bible literally? Which parts are we going to live by? Okay. In other words, if we're going to try to decide which parts we should take and which parts we shouldn't and which parts we should live by and which parts we shouldn't, who decides that? Okay. Who gets to decide which are the parts we should follow and which are the parts we shouldn't? Kind of dangerous ground there, isn't it? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, when he was facing temptation, notice what he says to the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just some of them, not just the words that are convenient to us, not just the parts we like, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The psalmist in the text that Holloway read for us this morning asks a really vitally important question here to begin with. in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's the question, isn't it? How do we help young people to keep their lives pure and to live a holy and pure life? And then he answers that in verse 10, by living according to your word. Quite simply. How do you live a pure life? By living according to God's word. Which parts? You say? Notice he doesn't differentiate, does he? All of it. See? All of it. Not just, again, the parts we like, throwing out the parts we don't like. If you want to live a pure life, the psalmist says, we do it by living according to his word. So that answers the one question, doesn't it? Can you really live by God's word? The answer to that is, yes, you can. And you must if you want to live a pure life. As he goes on to say, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. And look at this last statement. I will not neglect your word. You want to live a pure life? Then heed the commands of God. Live according to his word. Do not neglect his word. Meditate on it day and night, you see. The psalmist, it tells us very plainly, yes, we can live by God's word. In fact, the words of Jesus tells us this. If we don't live by it, then he's going to reject us. A verse that we've talked about many, many times, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Okay. Only those who obey God's word. How important is God's word? It's eternally important, isn't it? You say? In fact, he goes on to talk about those who are religious people, okay, those who call Jesus their Lord, and say, Lord, Lord, we've done lots of good things in your name. We've cast out demons. We've performed miracles. We've done many mighty works in your name. So it's religious people who are claiming to follow the Lord, but they're not living by his word. He will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So you see, Jesus gives us a warning and says, here's my word, and the only people who are going to go to heaven are those who are living by it. And you can make all the claims you want to, and you can do all the great and mighty and wonderful works that you want to, and do them all in the name of the Lord, but if you're not living by his word, he's going to say in the judgment, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. So can we live by his word? Not only yes, but yes, we must. Okay? We need to be thoroughly equipped. Or, as I have on here, no, this is not a misspelling here. This is intentional. Okay? Thoroughly equipped. What do we have to do, and what do we typically do to provide what are referred to as the life skills for our children? In order to prepare them for success in life, okay, what do we typically focus on? Their education, right? I mean, we want to make sure they get a good education. And so, we make sure that they are not late for school, right? They got to be at school. And we want to make sure that they do all their homework assignments. And we want to make sure that they're preparing and they're studying for their tests so they do well on those tests. Why? Because if they don't get a good education, they're not going to be successful in life. right? That's the message that we keep talking about and keep spreading. We push that message so much that we oftentimes neglect the teaching of God's Word to our children so that we make sure that they're successful in the world. We don't get our children, okay, folks, parents, grandparents, I'm going to step on some toes. We don't get them to Bible class. Not only do we not get them here on time, we don't even bother to bring them a lot of times. Okay? And we let them skip Wednesday night because they got a test at school on Thursday morning, or they got homework or a paper to do or whatever the case may be for their schoolwork. And the message that we're telling them is what? Your schoolwork and your success in the world is more important than your success in eternity. Folks, that is the wrong message. It's the wrong message. Are we preparing them for success? Yes, we are in the world. But we're preparing them for failure for eternity. Okay? We need to make sure that our children, that all of us are thoroughly or throughly equipped. Look at this passage in our Bible class this morning. How much of it? All Scripture is God-breathed. Literally, it is breathed out of the mouth of God. And he says it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the reason I have that title on there is I had a preacher one time that I heard he was talking about this passage. He said, that's really thoroughly. It's throughly. In other words, we should be equipped through and through, is what he was trying to say. And I like that. You say, equipped through and through to do every good work. We have to focus on learning God's Word, studying it, and absorbing it into our hearts and our minds, like the psalmist talked about. So that we will be equipped through and through to do the work that God has given us to do. And then finally, we just need to do it. Okay? We need to stop making excuses as to why we can't follow this part or that part or why this doesn't apply to me or any of those things. We just need to start doing it. Okay? Don't make excuses as to why we can't do God's Word. Just do what it says. All right? James writes to us this: do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Okay? Don't just listen to it. Because if that's all you're doing, he says, you're deceiving yourself. You've got to listen, but then you also have to do what it says. He goes on to tell us, okay, hearing and thinking about it is not enough. We've got to do what he tells us to do. Look at what he says. Those who listen to the word but do not do what it says are like people who look at their faces in a mirror and after looking at themselves go away and immediately forget what they look like. What happens? We look at the word and then we go away and we don't bother doing it. It's like, you know, you get up in the morning and, you know, it's kind of like the new Enterprise car commercial. Y'all seen that? The guy gets up and he's got bed hair, you know? Okay? Like, what do you do with this stuff? And so it's like you get up in the morning, you look at yourself and you go, I got bed hair, but then you turn around and you walk out and you don't do anything to fix it. And you wonder why people are looking at you so strange. Because you saw something that needed to be fixed and you didn't bother to fix it. You just walked away and forgot all about it. That's what he says it's like. when we listen and we hear the Word of God, but we don't bother to do what it says. We need to just do it. He goes on to say this. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Okay? The blessings come when? Not in the hearing, but in the hearing and the doing. That's why Jesus, in John chapter 13, after he washed the feet of his disciples, and he called their attention to the fact that they refer to him as their Lord and teacher, and he said, rightly so, because that's who I am. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, or your teacher, can wash your feet, so you must wash one another's feet. He said, I have set you an example that you will do what I have done for you. And then in verse 17 he says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So again, there's the account. It's not just hearing it, but it's in the doing. So we need to just do it. You see, just do what he says to do in his word. Here's a question for you. What do you suppose would happen to our world if, notice I have Christians there, okay? If Christians started living by the Bible, how do you think the world would change? Okay? You say, well, wait a minute, Russ, I don't understand what you mean. Isn't that kind of an indictment against Christians? Yes. Yes, it is. Here's why I say that. If Christians really, truly started living by according to what the Bible teaches, then most of the social issues that we have going on in our society today would be solved. They'd be gone. Okay? Went ahead too far. Okay, most of those societal problems would be gone. Now, why do I say it in this way about the Christians? Some of you have puzzled looks on your face. Consider this. Just here in America, okay? Survey after survey. And you've heard me say this before. 80 to 85%, though I saw a survey the other day that said 90% of people in America claim to be Christians. Are you telling me that all the social problems that we have in this country are due to only 10% of our population? I don't think so. I don't think so. You see, therein is the problem. We have too many people that are saying, yes, I belong to the Lord, but they're not bothering to live according to His Word. Many of them because they don't believe they can. And many others because they've been convinced they don't have to. All they got to do is believe in Jesus and they're saved, you see. That's the most popular message out there. But actually live by it? Yes. Yes. You see, didn't God call upon His people to be a light in this dark world in which we live in? When you have a society where 80 to 85% of its people are supposed to be shining the light, and you have the problems and the trouble and the stuff going on that we do, there's a problem with that light. A problem with that light, and it's because the people are not living according to God's Word. Here's the conclusion then. We can and we must try to live according to the Bible. That's what God calls upon us to do. Since it's God's Word, which one of us, who of any of us, is allowed to decide which parts we're going to live by and which parts we're not? And just because we don't understand or can't explain some of the things that are there does not discredit the Bible. Just because some things are not intended to be taken literally does not mean that neither does the rest of the Bible. So I suggest to you that this myth, that the Bible is not intended to be taken literally and certainly not intended for us to live by, that myth is busted. We must be trying and focusing our lives on understanding and knowing and living according to God's Word. And then allowing that Word to spread, because we're letting our light shine in this dark world that we live in. The purpose of that is so that more people can see their way to Jesus. That's what we're about, folks. That's what we're about. That's what we're here for. So, how are you doing? How are you doing in living your life according to God's Word? Now, I'll be the first one as I stand up here in front of you and say, you know what? I struggle. I don't do it perfectly. But I'm trying. I'm trying. And that's what God calls upon us to do. So my challenge this morning as we get ready to offer an invitation is for each of us to be looking at our lives on a daily basis. And you hear me say that all the time. This isn't just a Sunday to Sunday. This is a daily thing. We need to be looking at our lives and asking, how am I doing? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to do better? So the challenge is for all of us to do that and to look. And there's something going on in your life that you know you've got to do better on. Maybe you need some help with that. Maybe you need some guidance or some encouragement. Whatever it is, we want to help you as a family here. There's someone here this morning that has not yet given your life to Christ. You realize that without that, you're separated from Him for all eternity. You have the opportunity right now. If you're ready to make that commitment in your life, to become a child of God. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make the commitment to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. The invitation is open to all. Ray is in the back, and he'll be glad to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. Jerry and I will be up front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. Let's stand together and sing.